Wow. Wow. That's a good word for Easter Sunday morning, don't you think? Wow. I think that was a wow service, guys. Thank you to everybody who just partook in that. From dancers to artists to the choir to everybody. But more than that, did you sense the presence of God amongst us as we worshiped? There's a wow factor in the presence of God as He comes and He touches our hearts and lives. It's a wow factor that Jesus rose from the dead. Can I get a little amen? Is there anyone with me on that? Wow. I mean, you can say it backwards. Wow. It's just... That's an old Tony Campolo joke. I like to bring it out from the dead occasionally. It's, you know, get it? You didn't even get that part, all right? You're going to be hard work this morning. Hang in there with me, particularly those who are at the sunrise service. You're doing okay. You're doing great, in fact. But I wonder if you still hold the wow factor in your heart and in your lives about the resurrection. Is it still there? Or is there a part of you that has kind of got to the point of, oh, yeah, yeah, good, it's Easter Sunday, right? That's just what we do. It comes with the mix of the chocolate eggs and the bunnies and the, you know, everything else that's out there in our world today about this day. I wonder if you've lost a little bit of that. I'm not sure if it really happened. I'm not sure if it actually is how we proclaim it to be. I wonder if there's something inside of you as I'm not sure that this is important as it should be on a day like today when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the most single important truth of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Okay, you can go watch his movie at the moment. But here it is. 1 Corinthians. This is what he says. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Here's the first importance. This is what I'm about to say. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas. That's Peter. And then the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500. Of his brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last, he appeared to me also, Paul says. He then goes on to say, a little bit later in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. On first importance to the Apostle Paul, who spent the rest of his life sharing this good news, is that Jesus died on the cross, was put in the grave, and 3 days later conquered death and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins and for life eternal for all of us. Wow. G.K. Chesterton puts it this way. He said, on the third day, the friends of Christ came at daybreak to the place where Jesus lay, but found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized the wonder, but even they hardly realized that the world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation with a new heaven and a new earth. And in the form of the gardener, God walked again in the garden in the cool, not of the evening, but of the dawn. You see, this is not just a morning where we celebrate the raising of a man from death to life, but a whole new day was dawning for the whole of humankind because it was the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to change everything from that moment onwards. There's a lot of wow in this, right? The result of his followers. Well, transformation was built on this unshakable conviction about the resurrection of Jesus, that he actually rose from the dead. So today, I want to speak to that. I want to encourage you. I want to share just some three simple things with you today, that the resurrection actually did happen in history. The second thing is that the resurrection changed everything. And the third thing is the resurrection can change your everything. Absolutely. You see, it's really important that when we come to Resurrection Sunday, and if you're a guest here with us today and you're in exploration of all of this and you think, well, it's a nice thing that the Christians think about. You know, it's nicer to worship someone, I guess, who's alive than dead. But you've been thinking, really? Did this actually happen? I trust that this morning might be something that really does challenge your thinking on this. You see, this is so important because so often we get into this storytelling about what can happen, and society as a large will look upon this day, and you'll see it probably on the news reflected tonight. There'll be cameras that are poked into all sorts of churches of different descriptions and sizes and shapes and colors and all the rest of it, and they'll posture the fact of the belief that we have that Jesus was raised from the dead. But there's a lot of society that will start talking about this, and they will say along the lines of, well, yes, Jesus was probably a really good man. There's probably enough evidence historically to agree that Jesus actually did walk the earth. He was a fine man. He was a great teacher. He was a reliable kind of guy. He had some people who followed after him. But you know, this whole thing about the resurrection, you know, he was just a man and he probably just died. And those followers of his, I guess they were really missing him. I mean, they followed him around for 3 years. I mean, they gave up of their lives. And because he did some amazing things, you know, and was well-renowned in his teaching, I guess we really missed him. And because they really missed him, they made up some stuff and thought, well, you know, his spirit's lingering. It's nearby, isn't it? You know, you hear people say that, don't you, when others die? Oh, I can still feel them. They're nearby. And so, you know, he was nearby, his presence thing, and before long, this became a bit of a folklore, it became a bit of a rumor that, you know, well, Jesus rose from the dead. Really? You know, yeah. Because that's what society, that's a lot of society's opinion about Resurrection Sunday. All those people in the ancient world, they were kind of pretty naive, weren't they? They didn't understand things like we understand them with our scientific minds today. That couldn't seriously have really happened. They should just be understood as wonderful symbolic stories, wonderful and great, and let them believe what they believe. And that's what a lot of people in society think. But I want to explain just for a few moments that the New Testament writers, that didn't mean that to them at all. These guys were writing from a historical perspective. They were trying to present something actually that did happen. We watched a movie here last year in the 5 p.m. service called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, on a book that he wrote. Lee Strobel was an investigative journalist, the Chicago Tribune. And he spent several years of his life actually investigating as a journalist the truth and the claims around the resurrection, a death and life of Jesus Christ. And he says that you can establish that Jesus did in fact die on the cross. If you can do that, and that later he did appear to people, he said this, he said, then you've made your case because people don't normally do that. True, right? People don't normally do that. In fact, people in the ancient world were really quite serious about writing about history and what really happened. It was different whole genre to their folklore genre, to their mythological genre. They believed to write serious history, it depended on talking to eyewitnesses. People who were still alive, who had actually experienced, hopefully even been participants in the events that they were writing on. They would write this way about war that had happened during the Roman times. They would write this about other political leaders that were rising up. Whatever they were going to write history about, this is what they were looking for, some eyewitnesses. So history is built on eyewitness testimony of ancient historians who are serious about their craft. Now we see this in the Gospels. I want to read to you from the beginning of Luke chapter 1. Listen to how Luke writes. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed down to us by those who had first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. Does that sound like folklore? Does that sound like someone who's trying to create a story? Straight away, he's writing in such a way that he's trying to convince the audience that he's writing to that I know of these eyewitnesses. I, in fact, was one myself, and I want to declare and tell you about these things. Whatever you think about his writing, this is not symbolic. This is not just folklore. Strobel says that these were meant to be taken seriously. Eyewitnesses played a very important role. He poses the question, that is Lee Strobel. He said, would Christianity have taken off as quickly as it did if these disciples were saying that their audiences knew who were there, if we were to say things that were exaggerated or if we were to say things that were false? They weren't lying because the very people they were writing to would have stopped and said, no, you're making that up. I was there. You can't say that. That didn't actually happen. Would have been known fake straight away. If somebody writes something that they're serious about, it being taken in as a truthful claim, as knowledge, they'll often put footnotes in things. They'll say, you can check this stuff out. Here you go to this research and you can find out these things. The Gospels are full of such things where they can say, you can check this out. They often drop names of people in. When they're dropping the name of someone in there, they're saying to the audience they're writing to at that point in time, hey, you can go check it out. That person's still alive. He was still there. Check him out. Ask him. I'm writing about it, but you can go ask him. He's still here. Do you know, in each case of the eyewitnesses at the empty tomb, right across all three of the Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of John also is when you look across right in through here, each one of the witnesses to come and to talk about the fact that Jesus had risen were women. Now, we don't think too much about that because, you know, well, we have women reporters everywhere. We have women witnesses giving testimony. But I tell you, in first century Israel at that time, women were not credible witnesses. They weren't actually allowed to testify as a credible witness. They weren't allowed to come and say some of the things. In ancient Roman, ancient Israel, they're not generally allowed to serve in court or in any other way in this. And so we read this in Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, and remember here again, in this particular part, Mark is writing with people's names. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Mark's writing about the resurrection. He says it was Mary Magdalene who is giving report to these things. Mary, the mother of James, he uses as well. And then he sees, we read on and further in Luke, when they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense to them. Can you believe? Can you believe there was a time when men were slow to take women seriously? Men were obviously braver back then, dumber but braver back then. The women said, Jesus is risen. Fake news, the men said, even back then. Fake news. It wasn't until some of the men actually saw Jesus themselves that they backed up the story of what the women had seen. See, here's the point. If you were going to write an eyewitness testimony and put the names in of people, and you were writing it to make up something, you were writing up to make folklore, you were writing up to make a story that seemed nice but wasn't actually true, you would not have put women as the eyewitnesses. It doesn't make sense. But they weren't interested in trying to create a story. They were interested in actually writing it the way it was. That's what actually happened. So they put it down. Do you get the idea that's happening here? Whatever you may think about these accounts, they are presenting the resurrection as something that really happened. Why? Why? Because the resurrection changed everything. It changed everything. What's one of the greatest wow moments of your life? Maybe it was standing at the aisle and watching your bride walk down, or is the bride coming in and seeing your groom waiting for you. Maybe that was a big wow moment. Maybe for those who have had children, it was the birth of your first child. You know, wow, that wow moment, you know. Maybe if you're a West Tigers supporter, it was a wow factor that you won the first two games of the season. I don't know, you know. I remember the first time going to some historical sites. I remember going to London for the first time and seeing things like Big Ben and Tower Bridge and all of those sorts of things, and the palace and all of that. And you think, I've seen these in books. I've read about them. It's a wow moment. I went to Rome and I've seen the Colosseum, you know, and if you're walking along and you see that and then you go inside and you stand there, it's a wow moment. But wow moments, they come and go. They keep coming, they keep going. That's kind of how it works. But this moment changed all of history. We to this day date our human history by the life of Jesus, who lived and died and raised again. You see, on that first Easter Saturday, there was nothing left about Jesus and his small band of followers. They'd all deserted him, run away, were ashamed, or just wanted to hide out somewhere. But come Sunday morning, something that didn't exist on the Saturday all of a sudden took hold on a Sunday to raise up a movement that people were well and truly prepared to actually die for. And they did. And they did. The early church believed that the resurrection was indispensable to the Christian faith. But why so important to them? See, if Jesus had made it possible to have our sins forgiven by dying on the cross, what more did he need to do? What was the point of the resurrection? We see the resurrection takes the Christian faith out of the realm of theory and of everyday living. You see, without the resurrection, the teaching of Jesus would simply have been an interesting collection of stories, a system of rules, a way in which maybe to live, a philosophy on how to understand the world at large. But it would not have done what it did. See, keep Jesus alive. What that means is that challenges us to follow him. Gives us the power to start living out this life ourselves, because his resurrected life can live in us. The resurrection is a whole new day for the whole of humankind, for the whole of history, and going forward to our future. The New Testament outside of the Gospel talks about Jesus not as a dead and remembered teacher, but as a living person who still works through those who follow him. To be a Christian is not just to believe in certain things. It is to know, to love, and experience the love of Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, in our hearts today. We're told in one of the gospel accounts, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to the disciples, and then suddenly meeting them, they get this greetings. Jesus is kind of, you know, really understated at this point in meeting them. Hey, what's up? How you doing? G'day. They came to him and they clasped his feet. They embraced him. It in fact said that they worshipped him. Yesterday, he was a crucified criminal, a failed Messiah. Today, he is the Lord of the universe, the one who takes away their sin. And this resurrected Lord, they drop to his feet and they worship him. See, Jesus' resurrection means that you don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live in defeat anymore. Nations may rise and fall and civilizations come and go. We sing about it in some of our worship songs. And the shadow of this man, it still haunts the human race. 2,000 years later on, he changed everything. His resurrection truth can change your everything. It can change your everything. You see, if it is true that the resurrection actually happened, you're going to have to start thinking about Jesus a little bit differently, because you can no longer actually place him in that category of, well, he was a good teacher, he was a nice guy who did great things. Now you're actually going to have to wrestle with the fact that if he is alive and he is ascended to heaven and he is God's own one and only Son, what am I going to think about this guy? Jesus has defeated death. He must be Jesus the Lord, who can give us confidence in a life with him beyond death and claim our loyalty and our love in this life too. This is why it's vital to discover for ourselves whether the resurrection of Jesus took place or not. Our view of Jesus actually depends on it. And we all face this wonder of being born and then having our lives come to this end point. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28 says, every human being is appointed to die once and then to face God's judgment. But when we die, we will come face to face with Christ, the one who experienced death once and for all to bear the sins of many. And now to those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring us the fullness of salvation. Are you waiting for him? Here's the truth. Here's the truth about you. It's the same truth about me. The biggest wow moment of our lives is yet to come. The most amazing moment in our life will be the moment when we are stood face to face with Jesus Christ. We don't talk about that a lot, but Easter's a pretty good time to think about it, because it comes to everybody. I heard a preacher use this story once. He said that there's a little kid who comes running out of his bedroom and he says to his mother, "Mum, is it true that from the dust we came from and the dust we return?" And she says, "Yes." "Why do you ask?" He says, "Well, I was just looking under my bed and someone's either coming or going." Somebody's always coming and going. This moment will come into your life. You came, you're going to go. It'll come. And then something amazing can happen. Either you're going to see God face to face, our resurrected Jesus, or the Bible says that you'll face an eternity without him. God doesn't want anybody to face an eternity without him. That's precisely why Jesus came. To die for our sins, the things that separate us from a holy God, and allow us to come into relationship with our Maker and Creator. He says, "I know you've messed up. My grace is free. You can have it. This is why I came. And I overcame death so that you might also, although one day appointed to die, can live forever with me in my presence." The death and the resurrection of Jesus means that sin, your sin, my sin, our sin is forgiven, that death your death, my death is taken care of, that you can have hope, you can have purpose, you can have meaning, you have a message, that you have a destiny, that love has triumphed over hate. Not just that, it means that creation itself has been redeemed. This is the wonder of the day. That the suffering has been repealed, that every loss is once going to be restored, that God Himself will wipe away every tear, every sorrowing eye, every sickness and sadness, every grief, every bit of mourning and weeping and wailing. There will be no more. And this moment will come. It started with Jesus and it's breaking in consistently now, His kingdom, and one day it will be finalized. And it'll come for one reason, for the one thing that actually happened. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That's what we celebrate this morning. And if you have never experienced the power of the resurrection in your life, if you have never accepted the free gift of salvation, where Jesus says, what I did Friday was to pay the price for your sin so that it might be overcome. And what I demonstrated Sunday in the raising from the grave is a life that you can have, a life forevermore with me. That's the power of Easter. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of the resurrection. And if you've never, ever said to Him, yes, yes, I'd like that. Today is your new day, like a new day dawning over your life, forever changed by the resurrection of Jesus. And today can be the day where you can say your yes to Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And I'd like to give us the opportunity to do that. If we can leave the lights where they are, but if I could have heads bowed, that'd be great. Just to provide a little privacy for those who are next to us. And if today is a day where you would like to say, for the very first time, yes to Jesus. Today there's been a wow in your heart where you've gone, wow, it's true. The resurrection is true. That makes me think differently about who Jesus is. It makes me think differently about who I am and what I can experience. And if today is the day where you'd like to say yes to Jesus, to be the forgiver of your sin and to be the Lord of your life, why don't you just slip your hand up? Our eyes are closed and heads are bowed. But if that is you today and you say, yes, that's what I'd like. That's what I'd like in my life. I need to be forgiven. I want to know my Maker. I want to know my Creator. I want to know of His resurrection power in my life. Just pop your hand up. Thank you. Hold it up there. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to pray with you. You can pop your hand down. Jesus knows your heart, and He says at the confession of your lips, and because of that in your heart, that if you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, that indeed you will be forgiven of your sins. Let me pray with you, and you might like to just mouth these words and say them sincerely in your heart towards God this morning. God, I confess my sin, and I turn to You. I've changed the way I'm thinking about who You are. You are indeed alive. And I'd like You to be alive in my heart. I ask You to come and to forgive me of my sin as a gift of Your grace to be in control of my life. I ask that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit so I can live for You the way You intended me to live. Father God, I ask that You bring Your resurrection power into my heart today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.